All right, good morning. For those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Stephanie. I'm lead pastor here at Olivet. It's so good to be worshiping with you this morning. So for this service, we decided to do something a little different. Rather than having one sermon, we're going to break things up a little bit. Around the church office, we often remark that everyone has at least one sermon on their heart, or at least one sermon within them, meaning everyone has at least one thing that they're passionate about God about, or that they're learning from God about right now, and when push came to shove, you could probably give a sermon. So I'm going to pull one of you up. Just kidding. Okay, so this morning, we are going to hear from two different people who are part of our community as to what is God teaching them right now. So whenever we have people share their testimonies or stories, or whenever we have other guest speakers come, or we have people just simply share what God is teaching them right now, I am often reminded of Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 3. And Paul prays these words, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people." I'm getting so much feedback, Matthew, if you want to notice that. That is not part of the scripture, actually. But, okay, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So we all have different experiences and knowledge of God, and I may grasp how wide the love of Christ is, whereas Pastor Jocelyn may grasp how long the love of Christ is, and another person may grasp how high the love of Christ is, and so on and so on. And then when we come together and we share our knowledge and experiences of God together, we may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So it is my hope this morning that we will grow in our understanding of God, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and so that as a community, we may be filled to that full measure of the fullness of who God is. So this morning, we have Mike Budzik is going to help us deepen our understanding of God by sharing what God is teaching him lately. And then a little bit later in the service, we're going to have Wanda Davies will come and do the same. So I'm going to invite Mike to come up right now, and I'm going to pray for him and pray that we will learn what God has placed on his heart to share with us this morning. So will you join me in praying for Mike? And also pray for Wanda. God, we lift up Mike to you this morning. Spirit, rest fully on Mike. Calm any nerves. Thank you for his willingness to serve in this way. May you embolden him and speak through him this morning. And in a little bit, will you do the same for Wanda as well? Thank you, God, for how you speak to us and you make yourself known to us. God, will you grow in us a deeper understanding of who you are so we may know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ? And may that understanding form us and shape us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Together, may we be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So as you just heard, I've been asked to come up this morning and share a little bit about what God has been teaching me lately. And I'm going to be speaking about creation care, which is a subject that's been growing interest to me over these last few months. And I do want to just set the stage a bit by telling you that in my profession, I'm an environmental engineer. And throughout most of my career, I've been involved with the design and the development and even the operation of engineered landfills for the disposal of garbage. Municipal solid waste. So I just mentioned that to say that I do feel I have a fairly healthy appreciation for the importance of environmental protection, at least from a technical standpoint. But about a year ago or so, I was starting to reflect upon how we go to the Bible for guidance on so many facets of our lives. And the Bible does state that humanity was meant to be the stewards of creation. So I was wondering, like, what does the Bible actually tell us in that regard? How does it guide us in that manner? So I guess like any self-respecting engineer of my generation, I went down to the library And I started looking for books on this subject. And I was able to come across this one publication called Our Father's World, Mobilizing the Church to Care for Creation. Really good book. If you're interested in this sort of thing, I would really highly recommend it. It's very accessible. But most of what I'm going to share with you today is really a summary of some of the key points and some of the things that really stuck out to me as I was going through these pages. So the book is divided into two parts. The first half is the message. Second half is the mission. So starting with the message isn't great. We are a creation in crisis. We face ecological degradation as a direct result of the activities we have here on Earth, industry, fossil fuel extraction, and then as an indirect result of those activities, so read climate change, and all the wildfires and heat domes and flash flooding that we're seeing around the world these days. So there's that, and then there's also population growth. Over the course of my lifetime, the Earth's population has increased 230%. We're sitting at about 8.3 billion people right now, and with those increased numbers comes greater competition for the finite resources that we have here on Earth, as well as, you know, added strain on our ability to manage the renewable resources that we're trying to preserve in a sustainable way. And then we have economic factors, where here in the West, at least, we have an economic system that is predicated on us consuming more and more goods and services year after year in order for that growth to continue. So you can probably see at some point that's probably going to hit a wall. And then there's a lack of global political leadership on this issue. These are all global issues that are going to require a global response, and that would require that all nations come together under a common purpose, common objective, and collectively, you know, cooperate to address this. And I would just challenge you to look around the world these days and let me know how soon you think that is likely to happen. So it paints a bit of a bleak picture, and it had me asking the question, like, how did we even get here? You know, call me naive, but we're supposed to be an intelligent species. And here we are, we're speeding towards this cliff. And we don't seem to have the wherewithal to figure out how to just, you know, hit the brakes, slow down. In fact, we seem to be doing the opposite. We're like pressing down harder on the accelerator and we're speeding towards our demise. So, like, why is that? And I think one possible answer to that question is maybe it's not a question of intelligence. Maybe this is something that our hearts are driving. Maybe this is a spiritual problem. You know, I think you know the theology talks about when we fractured our relationship with the Father. That relationship was meant to be close and intimate, and when it was no longer there, it left within us a spiritual void. This emptiness that we've been trying to fill in a number of ways, not the least of which is this belief that if we just amass more personal wealth and more possessions, that we're somehow going to arrive at a state of contentment. So the author draws this analogy using dominoes. He asks us to look at four relationships in our life: our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with one another, community, and then our relationship with creation. And if you picture these four dominoes are stacked side by side, and we tip over the first one, we fracture that relationship with the Father. That sin has consequences that reverberate throughout all four of those relationships. And if we want to try and restore our relationship with creation, we can't go to that fourth domino that's sitting at the bottom of the pile. We have to start by reconciling ourselves to God, which has been made possible through Jesus. But I would argue that it takes time. You know, it takes time for us to develop and mature to a point where we can really fully trust in God and rest in Him. But as we're doing that, as we're moving towards that place, then we can look at our own interpersonal relationships or relationship and just, you know, start to let go of the guilt and the shame that we have picked up throughout our lives as we've made choices that have not necessarily been pleasing to God. And as we continue on that journey, we can relate to others in our community, you know, those who may be in conflict with, and approach that from a posture of more empathy and compassion rather than fear and accusation. So it's this process of realigning our hearts so that when we look at creation, we're no longer looking at it as something that's there to be exploited for our own personal satisfaction. It's what it was meant to be, you know, this benevolent relationship where we're wanting to care for this precious gift. So moving on to the mission, in the book, the author lays out these five suggested initiatives that the church can look to in order to advance creation care. And there's no way that I can articulate them any better than he did in the book. So I've paraphrased them up on the screen here, and I'm just going to read through what I have there. The first one is we need worship that leads us to a sense of wonder and awe of creation, to a contemplation of the Creator, to a passion for the world which he made and loves and wants to redeem. So in the way we worship, for example, the songs we pick, picking music and songs that inspire us in that sense of awe and wonder and align us with wanting to take an active role in the restoration of the creation in which we live. Same sort of idea with preaching and teaching, like looking at sections of the Bible and teaching on those topics that are going to celebrate creation and lead us to a place where we're really, really passionate about its preservation. And then the third point is to instill these values, this awe and wonder in the next generation. At some point, we're all gonna have to pass the torch to someone else, and we want to equip them to succeed if they are wanting to follow in these footsteps. And then there's reaching out to our communities by not only loving them, but showing them that we care deeply about the world whose creator we worship. So think about here at all of it. One small example, we use reusable plates, utensils, when we serve meals. From the outside looking in, that's a fairly tangible example of how we've taken steps to generate less waste and move away from a direction of disposables, which would be a lot easier. And the final one here is missional outreach programs that integrate creation care, teaching, and earth healing ministry. So I can't go into any of these in any great detail, but I do want to just point out that not one of these really is focused on solving any one environmental issue. All of these are focused on transforming we, the members of this church. It's about realigning ourselves, because in the end, we're going to be the ones who are influencing the future through the decisions and the choices that we make. Right. So in closing, looping back to that first question, what has God been teaching me lately? Well, I would say he's really been broadening an understanding of what creation care is, moving from just the technical to realizing that it's so much more than that. He's also, you know, making it known to me that I'm at the beginning of this journey. There's a lot more for me to learn on this. Fortunately, there's about 40 resources listed in this book, so I can keep myself busy for a while. And then I guess the last thing I just want to say is I know this can be very overwhelming. There are times where it just seems hopeless. You know, there's so much trouble in the world as it comes to the way we treat creation. So much despair, but if we do put this back to God, as with most things in our life, if God is involved, there's always going to be hope. All right? So I think I'm just going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for letting me share this today. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mike, for sharing. And we're going to continue in the theme of creation and caring for creation, and we're going to sing For the Beauty of the Earth. Please stand. Over and down.
My heart will sing your praise.
Please be seated.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm not sure if all of you know me, especially since I live in Langley, and I don't get out here to Olivet more than about once a month. My name is Wanda Davies, and I'm a member of Wycliffe Bible Translators Organization, and I teach at our training institution called the Canada Institute of Linguistics, or CANIL for short, and it's on the campus of Trinity Western University in Langley. I didn't know what the previous song was going to be, but I like it. I think it's a good introduction. Anyhow, some of you may remember that when I gave a short report a year or so ago, I talked about my upcoming retirement from my teaching role. So you may be surprised to know that I'm still teaching. In fact, I begin on Wednesday this week again. So to introduce why I'm still teaching, I'd like to read you some verses from the book of James, chapter 4, in the New Revised Davies Version. Now listen, you who say, this year or next, I will retire from my teaching. Slow down, take life easy, and enjoy my retirement. Why, you do not even know what will happen later this year. What is your life? You are a mist that teaches for a while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, I will retire and do this or that. As it is, you are planning your life without waiting for God's direction. So you'll recognize, of course, that's not really what the Bible says that James wrote, but it's how I've read it in this past year. The reason I'm still teaching is that a year ago, the young lady whom I had handed over all the classroom teaching, she felt the Lord was calling her in a different direction. So she resigned, leaving me the full teaching load again. When that happened, I had to complain to the Lord a bit. I said, Lord, do you really want me to go back to full-time teaching again? Can I really manage that at my age? But after praying about that, God gave me peace that he would give me the strength to carry on until he brings the right person at the right time. So I'm starting my second year of full-time teaching again. But the head of the academic work there at CANIL has been really helpful. And he assigns me teaching assistants, and he even personally helps me sometimes, especially with the more technical side of having to run hybrid classes with students online as well as in the classroom at the same time. And I think my takeaways from this experience is that God's plan may be different than ours. And God enables us for what he asks us to do. So I also, though, wanted to tell you about another wonderful opportunity that God gave me in May of this year. Some of you may know that before I came to teach at CANIL, I worked in Africa for 28 years, mostly with Sudanese people from the part of the country that's now a new country called South Sudan. And in May, our office there planned a celebration for 50 years since we started to work in that country. Now, you may know that Wycliffe works with marginalized people groups, many whose languages have not yet been even put into writing. So back in 1976, our Africa area director entered the region of Sudan in the south there to talk to the government officials about our working there. and a young Wycliffe couple came and surveyed what languages were spoken there and where they were. And also another family moved to the regional capital called Juba, and he rented a room to serve as an office for our future work. Then in the early months of 1977, a British family and another single woman who has since died and I entered the country to start working there. So when I heard about this 50-year celebration, I couldn't pass up that opportunity to go and attend this celebration. I must say that flying from the western side of Canada to the eastern side of Africa is quite a long and tiring and expensive trip, but it was really well worth going there. I saw some people that I had known and worked with in the past and met new people who are there now and carrying on the work. And the encouraging thing is that many of them are now the Sudanese carrying on roles that used to be us from the outside who were doing it. So this celebration consisted of two different kinds of occasions. One was a formal occasion, lots of important guests and speeches by high-level people, church leaders, and so forth, the mayor of the town of Juba, officials from our mission, and so forth. The other was a more celebratory time with different language groups had been invited to present their traditional dances. Now, the people of South Sudan at this time don't have very much to give them joy in their life, but they do love to sing and dance. And it seems that dancing is one way that they release their stresses and all their troubles in a physical way, and they can forget about their troubles for a little while. And so this occasion turned out to be a very joyful occasion, and it was, in fact, my favorite activity during that week that I was there. There was a videographer who was at that occasion, and he made a 2-minute video of this particular celebration. So I would like to show you that now, and then afterwards I'll give you a few prayer requests.
The Bible has two objectives. One of it is to bring the languages we've worked with in the past and even the current projects together to advocate more about SIL and to raise more funds for those communities who do not have the Bibles in their languages, and also for raising funds to produce more literacy materials.
It's something that we in SIL South Sudan have wanted to do for quite a few years now. It has been a long time of talking and discussing what it could look like. We have learned from those in other places about fundraising and awareness events, but we wanted to do something that really fit our context here. And it was just lovely to be able to start here at our SIL compound and to march together to the place of the event. So many dancing teams came, and it was just a beautiful time together, hearing from people their languages, seeing their cultures displayed in beautiful dancing. Dancing and singing are so important to all of the cultures of South Sudan, and so we knew that we wanted to do something that included those aspects of culture and identity. And so coming together on Saturday, it was really amazing to see the first ever Dance for the Bibleists. So many people came out. It was even better than we had hoped for our first time doing something so big. And one of my favorite parts was the fact that so many groups came together. They got to see each other's cultures and languages. That is not a normal thing here to do. And join together in dancing. So different communities joined each other's dances and were sharing together about the beauty of coming together in peace and celebration of one another's cultures.
So looking forward, we are hoping to have it as a signature event, which will be yearly, to invite all these languages to come and dance. And dance for the dance and music, that's more of a cultural dance and music. It draws people together, it brings people together. So seeing just people in one stage, one day, dancing to their music, dancing to other communities' music, and even copying their tradition, it was a blessing to us. So we wanted to continue with this as an annual thing to raise more funds, to create awareness about SIL South Sudan, and just make people know that we exist. Tingun lopo pora tinate.
Yeah, so do pray for the people of South Sudan, and especially that the Christians will stand strong as their country is facing so many challenges at this time. And pray for the Bible translation and literacy work that is continuing there despite all the challenges around them. And especially pray that God's word in the languages of the various ethnic groups will reach right into their hearts and will make a change in their lives. I think they're kind of like us. We have the Bible in our language, but we don't always put all of it into practice. And so, you know, we can be praying that for them, that not only they hear it in their language and read it in their language, but they put it into practice. And then pray for me as I start teaching in this coming year. I still need to get my course material up on the website for starting on Wednesday. So, and just pray for good rapport with my students and that I can stay ahead of them in getting the course material up and marking and all that is involved. Also pray that I can encourage them spiritually as well as academically. Most of them are preparing to serve God through Bible translation and literacy work in the future. So I just want to say I really appreciate this church for their prayers and support. It's been 26 years that I've been connected with this church, and it's meant a lot. So I thank you very much for that. And I do pray for you too. I pray that you'll continue to really be a beacon of light and hope here on the brow of the hill in New Westminster. Thank you.
I'm pushing her back up here. We want to take some time now in the service to pray for Wanda and for the things that she asked us to pray for. So let's pray together. Creator God, we thank you for who you are and for all you have done. God, we thank you for the way you have created our good earth, that you have created all things through you and through your power, through your spoken word. God, I thank you for Wanda, and I thank you for what she has shared with us today. God, I thank you for what we saw on the video about her work in Sudan, now South Sudan, for the people who are dancing for the Bible-less. God, for people who want to hear your word, who want to know you and know the truth. God, we thank you for the dancing that we saw in this video. We thank you that we can know you with our minds, we can know you with our hearts, and we can praise you with our full body, God, that there is a call to dance. God, and I thank you for Wanda. I thank you that first and foremost, she is a child of God. She's your child, and that you rejoice over her with singing. God, I pray that you would encourage Wanda in her coming back from this trip and remembering the many decades of work and translation in so many different communities. God, I pray that you would bless her with just so much blessing as she heads into another year of teaching. God, we pray for those in South Sudan, the team that's there, mm-hmm. the people that continue to translate and continue to work with many different cultures and many different dialects, many different groupings of people, God. And I just pray that you would do a work of transformation by the power of your spirit. God, that your word would go forth in every language, in every tongue. God, that people would know you. They would know your name, Jesus. God, I pray for Wanda as she continues to teach this semester, that you would bring people alongside her as she's asked, that more people would come alongside, more people would help her with grading and marking and the technology piece and being online and in the classroom. God, I just pray for a huge blessing on Wanda's life as she continues to be faithful to you. God, you are so faithful to us. And as Wanda said, we have Bibles here in our church and we have Bibles here in Canada. But in some ways, we can also be Bible-less. We cannot turn towards your word and we cannot remember you in our day-to-day life. And so I pray that you would challenge us to do that dance, to do a dance for the Bible-less, including us, for the times when we don't turn to you, when we don't turn our mind, our heart, and our full selves to you. And God, I pray you challenge us and you draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.